Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, man, do we have a show for you tonight. Part two with Eric John Phelps, founder, creator, walking encyclopedia. You might know him from the VaticanAssassins.org website, Vatican.org. We're about to bring him on the line here in just a little bit. You might remember the last episode if you were lucky enough to join in for part one. Night, and we're going to jump into it in just a second. We talked about the Jesuits last episode. We talked about the purposeful sinking of the Titanic and so much more. We found ourselves all over the map during that interview. Eric's vast knowledge cannot be repudiated. He's consistently backs up his research with evidence, more research. Like I said, he is a walking, talking encyclopedia of information. You might also remember that Eric stated with quite confidently, that Obama would be installed for another term. Behold, Mr. Eric John Phelps was absolutely correct. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into it tonight. Mr. Eric John Phelps, are you with us?
Yes, pleasure to be with you, Max, and your listeners tonight.
Awesome. Couldn't be more thrilled about tonight's episode. Man, we covered a lot of topics last time. You even surprised me with a few. And I think it's important that maybe we start off with this election. I think you probably have some information now that the election has concluded, and you were absolutely right. Obama was given another 4 years, and I want to know, what are your thoughts on this? What more can you bring to the table regarding the election 2012?
Well, you know, there were several guys that were saying that Obama would be put back in office, but very few of them said why. And really, that's the question, why? And I maintain that now that he's a lame duck president, aided and abetted by a Democratic Senate, he can do whatever the Jesuit order tells him to do through their most illustrious Jesuit at his right hand, Joe Biden, as I mentioned, who has two honorary Jesuit degrees, one from St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and the other from the Orders University of Scranton in Scranton, which is, by the way, a big recruiting station for the CIA. So we have another term of Barry Davis Obama, the notorious communist, homosexual, Sunni Muslim, everything that he embodies, everything that the Jesuits want as an enemy when they raise up their fascist, white fascist backlash, probably in 2016. So Obama Barry Davis and company are going to be involved in passing the most horrible legislation every handgun, every rifle, and every shotgun, so that the American people will not be able to defend themselves from a political tyranny. And they're going to do that. They're going to raise the income taxes to further destroy the historic white Protestant and Baptist middle class and those others who have become middle class because of the Reformation. And so with the confiscation of the guns, more loss of personal liberty and private rights, it's just going to spiral into the ionosphere. And all the white people are going to be driven to unite, the Catholic whites, the apostate Protestant whites, the Baptist whites, the atheistic whites. All the whites are going to be driven into this, to desperation, to ultimately go into right-wing fascism. And as I mentioned before, there's going to be a six-sided enemy of this fascist party that's coming to power. And it will be all the Muslims in the country, all the blacks in the country, all the Jews in the country, all the Hispanics, especially the Hispanic Roman Catholic alien invaders, all the homosexuals, and all the Jews. So you have this six-sided enemy that's really embodied in Barry Davis Obama that will be reacted to by the coming white fascist movement, spurned on by the Tea Party movement and the Council for National Policy and others just waiting for this to happen. The putting in of Obama was the best thing that could happen to the CIA. That's exactly what they wanted. And of course, the CIA are the Catholics in action, the Roman Catholic Jesuit order having founded it through Knight of Malta while Bill Donovan.
Wow. Wow. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, a walking, talking encyclopedia of information. It sure sounds like, you know, they're trying to stir up that civil war that we've heard of. And that is certainly a method of doing it. Get the people to fight amongst themselves. Divide and conquer has always been the strategy. It goes back thousands of years. And so, man, I think you're right on the money. Regarding Obama, last month, October, there was a dinner, the Al Smith dinner. Tell us about that and some particular guests at that dinner, including the man sitting to Obama's left.
Okay, the Al Smith dinner is an annual dinner that the Archbishop of New York puts on every year, especially every election year, because he has the presidential candidates there. When I wrote my book, Vatican Assassins, I showed with Nixon and Kennedy, the two candidates for that year. And it's a demonstration of the political, economic, social power of the Archbishop of New York, because therein you see the real people of the Pope's white power structure in this country. And one of the men sitting next to, the man sitting to Obama's left, according to a picture that was sent to me by one of my fellow researchers, Brother Nicholas Rivera, the man sitting next to him was a man named Christopher C. Quick. Now, listen to this guy, his accomplishments and who he is. Chris C. Quick is an alumni of Jesuit Fairfield University, an alumnus. He's on its board of trustees. Remember, Jesuit Fairfield University is in Connecticut. He's on its board of trustees, a member of the board of directors of the Alfred E. Smith Foundation. Remember, Al Smith was a prominent Knight of Columbus. He ran for the presidency in 1928. He was defeated because of, quote-unquote, the work of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, when the fact of the matter is the Klan was busy neutralizing any white nationalists by bringing them into the Klan so that they would not be effective against this papal Jesuit conspiracy. But Alfred E. Smith, also, he was a personal friend of Nicholas Brady, powerful Knight of Malta. He was the head of over 100 corporations. He was wealthier than John D. Rockefeller Jr. This guy, Nicholas Brady, you see nothing of. And by the way, he and his wife, Genevieve Brady, funded the novitiate over here in not far from me in Wernersville, Pennsylvania. But it's a Jesuit novitiate. But here it talks about this guy, Chris Quick. He is on the board of directors of the Alfred E. Smith Foundation and a Knight of Malta. Okay?
Wow. Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, the picture that he's referring to is up on the Facebook page for Vatican Assassins, as well as the Facebook page for Decrypted Matrix. This is absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Check out the picture. Continue, Eric.
Okay, now, more on Chris Quick. He's another example of the Irish Roman Catholic Papal Knight on Wall Street in cartel fascist capitalist corporate America. Now, listen to this. He's a former vice chairman of the Order's Bank of America. Now, remember, Bank of America used to be the Bank of Italy, as it was founded as the Bank of Italy in San Francisco. The Jesuits have run San Francisco since 1850, according to Chenequi in his masterpiece, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Now, the founder of Bank of America was a guy named A.P. Giannini. Giannini was an Italian Roman Catholic and a Knight of Malta. Giannini was the personal friend of Mariner Eccles, who was a high Mormon, and he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank in the 1930s under FDR, when they perfected the power of the Federal Reserve Bank with the Banking Act in 1935. Giannini and Nicholas Mariner Eccles worked together in passing the Banking Act. Giannini was a Knight of Malta. Eccles was a high Freemason and a Mormon. But here you have this Chris Quick. He's a former vice chairman of the Order's Bank of America, and he's the current vice chairman of the Global Wealth and Investment Management at Bank of America. So Bank of America, according to Avro Manhattan, that 51% of the stocks in Bank of America is owned by the Jesuit order. And Bank of America is one of the largest banks in the world. So here you have next to Toby, the mulatto, this runner for the white power structure. He has no allegiance whatsoever to his own black people at all. He's sitting next to this Chris Quick, this white Irish Catholic American, quote unquote, who is in the power loop of the Knights of Malta, a right hand of Archbishop and Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York City, and he is advocating Knight of the 32nd degree Prince Hall Right Freemason Obama for the purpose of paving the way for white fascism in this country, as I mentioned previously, to kill every Jew in North America.
Wow. Wow, that is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. So to confirm, when you say the order, that means it's the, you know, owned by the order, that means it's owned by the Jesuits, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So we have this kingpin here that seems to be at the, you know, the center of the central banking system, but we've never heard of him. Most people, I mean, before tonight, Eric, I'd never heard of this guy. I mean, you're blowing my mind. This is crazy. Keep going.
Yeah, so, and this is just typical. Another guy's name is Jeffrey T. Biasi. He's also affiliated with J.P. Morgan Chase. Remember, J.P. Morgan Chase is run by the Knights. He's also affiliated with Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is run by the Knights of Malta, not the Jews. It originally was founded by Jews, but it's completely run by the Knights of Malta. All your major banks in New York are run by the Knights of Malta. So with these men, Jeffrey T. Biasi, Chris Quick, the founders of these other banks, they're all high Knights of Malta, busy serving the papacy. And as I mentioned previously, the most powerful financial families in the world are all Romans. They're the Borgias, they're the Farnese's, they're the Aldobrandini's, Colonna's. All these are Italian Roman Catholic families, all high Knights of Malta, running the finances, the currencies, and hoarding the gold of the world. There are no Jews involved in this. And the Rothschilds who are involved, they're all Catholics, and they're Knights of Malta. A Rothschild man married an Aldobrandini female just recently or last year. They're all working for the papacy. The Jews run nothing.
Wow, and that's so funny because how often do we hear, you know, those other hosts and other websites that think they know what's going on? They're like, oh, the Jews own everything. It's all about the Jews and blah, blah, blah. That, you must just laugh at that, huh?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous not only in true history, but it's ridiculous biblically. In Matthew, in Luke chapter 22, Christ warns about what's happening in Jerusalem, and he said that Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, then the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and he'll establish his millennial kingdom. He'll smash all the enemies of born-again nation of Israel that has survived the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, and then he will institute his millennial kingdom when Israel will be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It'll be the head of all nations, et cetera, as we read in Deuteronomy 28 and so on. But right now, or since 606, since the first captivity of the Jews by the Babylonians in 606 BC, we are living in the times of the Gentiles, and it's going to continue. Therefore, the Gentiles, the nations, are the ones who run Jerusalem, not the Jews. The Jews running Jerusalem are running Jerusalem for the benefit of the papacy, not for the benefit of the Jews living in Israel.
Wow, that's a really good point. I'm glad you put it that way because that makes it a lot more, much more clear, not only for myself, but I bet for many of the listeners out there that this is such, you know, there's such a thin line sometimes with the information we can find about, you know, the Jews and the Zionists and the Knights of Malta. And I think everybody, and I'm even guilty of it myself, is just putting them all into the same big basket, you know, oh, they're the ones that control the world. Well, you're really more complicated than that. And thanks to you, you know, it helps us decrypt this very messy situation.
Mm-hmm. And remember, too, that the Jesuits are the true authors of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And I discovered this years ago, but then I also read it in Leo Lehman's great work, Behind the Dictators, written in 1942. That Leo Lehman was an ex-Irish Roman Catholic priest, and the man was saved, came to know Christ, and he became a missionary to the Catholics in New York City. And he wrote his work Behind the Dictators in 1942, and therein said that the Jesuits were the authors of the protocols. So the protocols of the Elders of Zion, the high Jesuits consider themselves the real Zionists. They are the labor Zionists.
Oh, wow.
And this whole Zionist movement really began not with the Rothschilds or not in England with the Fabian Socialists. It began with Napoleon Bonaparte.
Oh, my.
Napoleon Bonaparte called for making Palestine a homeland of the Jews. And why? Because Napoleon's advisor, his director, was Abbe Sieyès, who was the second person on the consulate, because there were three, Ducos, Sieyès, and Napoleon. And Sieyès was the one who directed Napoleon in all of his military battles and what to do and so on. And so Sieyès told Napoleon, you want to have Palestine a homeland for the Jews. And another guy who advocated this even before that was Christopher Columbus. Yep. Christopher Columbus wanted to see the rebuilding of the Hebrew temple. And Palestine is a homeland of the Jews because Christopher Columbus was a Spanish Jew working for the papacy.
Wow. Yep. Now, some would say Palestine, some would say Jerusalem. Speaking of Jerusalem, doesn't the Bin Laden family have some kind of ties to Jerusalem? I've heard this. Please elaborate.
Well, you know, the Bin Laden family is Masonic, and it's connected with Masonry in the Middle East through the Grand Orient Lodge of Cairo, and there's another big lodge in Istanbul, Turkey. Those are the two big Muslim lodges where the vast majority of your Muslim leaders come from. And the Bin Ladens are part of that. And so the Bin Ladens have been doing business with the Bushes for 25 years. And the Bushes, because are absolutely connected to the papacy. We know that George Herbert Walker Bush is a Bonesman, so is George W. Bonesman. But George's brother is a Knight of Columbus. And George Herbert Walker Bush's brother, Prescott Bush Jr., is a Knight of Malta. I maintain George Herbert Walker is a Knight of Malta, too, because he entertained the former Grand Master of the Knights, Andrew Bertie, in the White House in the 1990s, I believe. So what we have is just the Bush family, totally connected to the Vatican, totally connected to Bin Laden, and, of course, they all want Jerusalem to be directed by the Pope, overseen by the Jesuit order. This is why in 1993, Yossi Belin, under the direction of Perez, at the time of the Oslo Accord, which was a distraction, he gave all the holy places in Jerusalem to the papacy, and especially the Temple Mount. So the Temple Mount is the property of the Pope. And when I was in Israel the last time, I'd say it was 8 years ago, one of the leading guys there in the city that I was talking to says the Vatican owns 60% of all the land in Jerusalem.
Oh, 60%. Man, I absolutely believe that. Absolutely mm-hmm. believe that. Hold that thought for just a second. We got to cut to a break real quick. As soon as we get back, we're going to hit the ground running with Mr. Eric John Phelps. We're going to continue with the Jesuits and then, you know, whatever else we can squeeze in. So hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio, Decrypted Matrix, with Eric John Phelps of Vatican Assassins.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. We can't pay you for sharing and tweeting us on Facebook and Twitter, but we will love you for it. Find links on our website at revealingtalkradio.com and follow us today.
G'day, this is Timmy from the Timmy Down Under Show. I'm an Aussie bloke keeping it real on the Gold Coast of Australia. Check me out each week right here on Revealing Talk Radio. We've got the Aussie perspective. I'll be here waiting for you.
If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We're looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we're back, and we're going to hit the ground running. We've got Eric John Phelps from Vatican Assassins, author of Wounded in the House of My Friends. If you're interested in that, you can hop over to vaticanassassins.org/1836 pages, almost 2,000 pages of information about the Jesuits, 700 photos. There's a bonus CD. It's you have to check this out. We've got a quick question from Alan before we jump into the and let Eric finish on the Jerusalem topic. Alan asks, will the North American Union be before or after 2016?
Very good question. I'm not sure, but they want it very much. One of their goals was to have it in place by 2012, but, you know, man proposes and God disposes. I would imagine that they want to make it happen in 2013. To do that, there has to be martial law. So to implement the North American Union will have to be by way of martial law, and to justify that martial law, we'll have to have a currency collapse and it to be replaced with the Amero. But that's what they want. And remember, what they're doing here in North America, they did in Germany. You have Protestant Germany, you have Catholic Bavaria, but essentially Protestant Germany, you have Roman Catholic Austria, and you have Roman Catholic Italy to the south. Here we just in America, but just now for the most part Catholic. And then to the north you have historically Protestant Canada, but you have Catholic Quebec to the north, and you have Catholic Mexico to the south. So they're going to create this Axis power here, and they'll do it as they did in Germany by way of they lost World War I, then they had a financial collapse, then Hitler came to power decrying the iniquity of the Versailles Treaty, which was correct, and then the building of the Nazis, and ultimately the opening of World War II. So I tend to think it's going to be very similar what they're going to do here. We're going to have an economic collapse, probably a race war when they shoot Obama's double. That will incite a black-on-white race war, and then they can be able to lock down the cities and declare martial law, open the camps, and then have their two-front war.
Oh, man, you just mentioned something that flashed in my mind, is that movie Vantage Point. For any out there, any Hollywood buffs, check out the movie Vantage Point. They show you exactly what Eric has just talked about. These guys have doubles. Some have even argued they might be clones. And if they want to take somebody out and then give that person eternal life, you know, hidden, you know, change their identity, live underground, what have you, the public thinks they're dead. They've been assassinated in real life, actually. They killed a double. And so
that's right.
This has absolutely been showed to us in Hollywood.
And that's what they did to Hitler in 1945.
Yep.
They shot his double, and Hitler gets to escape through Austria, then to Spain, and they can have a party there and how many Jews they killed, and then he went to South America.
Yeah.
So they did it with Hitler. If they can pull it off with Hitler, they can pull it off with Barry.
Yep. Well, if you're a good little puppet and you serve the order well and you play that bad guy just like they want you to, you get this gift of eternal life. We have definitely heard that before. Looks like we have just one more quick question from a listener. James writes, "Hello, could you ask Mr. Phelps how, if you have to be Catholic to be a knight, or a knight of Columbus or a knight of Malta, because George Bush is Episcopalian?" Good question.
Sure. There are Protestant Knights of Malta, there are Jewish Knights of Malta, there are Catholic Knights of Malta. Now, the original order is Catholic, but you also have a Protestant branch of the order in England. You have an Orthodox branch of it in Russia. And the Jews that join generally convert to Catholicism, like Leo Lehman, former owner and head of Rite Aid pharmacies. But you do have Protestants. For example, if you read the book Luce and His Empire, you'll see a very telling picture in there with Henry Luce. It's an Al Smith dinner picture. Henry Luce is there, and then next to him is Dean Rusk, who was the Secretary of State under Kennedy, who was a Knight of Malta. Then you have next to him J. Peter Grace, who was the most powerful Knight of Malta at the time in America. He was the head of the Knights. founder of his grandfather was the founder of the Grace Corporation, W.R. Grace. And then you have Claire Booth Luce, who was the Dame of Malta. She was a Baptist and converted to Catholicism, became a Dame of Malta and ambassador to Italy under Eisenhower. And then you have Cardinal Spellman. But Henry Luce was a Presbyterian. He was a Knight of Malta. So there are Knights of Malta who are not Catholic. And this is why it's so important to look for the Knights and not necessarily their Catholicity.
Good point. Very good point. I'm sure James wasn't the only one wondering that. Since he mentioned it, I realized, wow, that is a really good question, because there seems to be this division everywhere, but then sometimes not necessarily. It's interesting how that works. So thank you, Eric, for elaborating on that. What else do we have here?
I have another point on Israel.
Sure.
We always want to remember that in the eyes of the papacy, Israel is the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. Remember, the first Latin kingdom of Jerusalem was founded in 1099 when the Crusaders, the Knights Hospitallers leading it, took Jerusalem from the Muslims. Okay? And they held it until 1187 when Saladin took Jerusalem. And you can see that in the movie titled Kingdom of Heaven. Get director's cut. It's a very interesting movie. But then the Knights Templars are still allowed there, and the Hospitallers are allowed there, and the Equestrian Order is still allowed there. But in 1291, the Muslim Mamelukes, drive out the Templars, kill all the Templars that they can, kill all the Catholics. And then from 1291 to 1917, Jerusalem is in Muslim hands. Well, at the time of 1917, you have the liberator, General Allenby, a British Freemason. He liberates Jerusalem, and he enters Jerusalem by foot rather than on horseback. And he said, when he entered Jerusalem, I shall enter Jerusalem as a pilgrim and not as a conqueror. And so when that high-level Mason entered into Jerusalem, he walked in, and I have a picture of him walking in into Jerusalem from the Jaffa Gate, I believe. And so, because the Jesuits are in control of the British crown since no later than King George III, the Jesuits, using Great Britain, took Jerusalem from the Muslims. And at that time, this laid the foundation for the reestablishment of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, which took place in 1948. And with the reestablishment of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, this is exactly what the Pope wants, because now he placed it in the hands of his Masonic Jewish labor Zionists, which would thereby enable him to rebuild Solomon's Temple, which is what the temple. So this was very important in 1917, the taking of Jerusalem, and then the founding of Israel in 1948. And by the way, the ones who oversaw and agreed to the founding of Jerusalem or Israel in 1948 was Freemason Dirty Harry Truman, Freemason Winston Churchill, and Freemason Joseph Stalin. They all consented to the establishment of Jerusalem of Israel by formally recognizing the nation, because all three were busy serving the Jesuit order.
Wow, makes a ton of sense, Eric. Absolutely makes a ton of sense. And I have a feeling you're not going to hear this stuff anywhere else, folks. Not going to hear it anywhere else. VaticanAssassins.org is the website. We've got some content also up on DecryptedMatrix.com. Not nearly as juicy right now on the Jesuits. Very light on Jesuit content there. But let's switch gears just a little bit. We've got a question just from feedback from last week's show about the Titanic. We've got a question from listener William, which I'll admit was also my question. I just didn't have a chance to answer it because we were moving so fast. William asks, how did the Jesuits motivate Captain Smith to sabotage the Titanic? Did he believe that he was going to be rescued? Because we all know that, you know, I will not leave my crew. I will go down with this ship. That's what we saw in the movie. Is that really what happened? Is that, you know, did he think he was going to be saved, or what happened there?
Well, there are some who say that Captain Smith escaped and that he didn't perish in the Titanic disaster, but I maintain that he died. But we have to remember this. Captain Smith was a Jesuit temporal coadjutor. And that means that you set aside your will for the benefit of the Jesuit order. These guys are soldiers. They're warriors. They're knights. Order, for example, on the Titanic. Remember, Francis M. Brown, the Jesuit, was there on the ship, and he was taking all the pictures of those in the first class so that his Jesuit provincial could see all the guys who would be perishing when the ship went down. But you can know that the Jesuit provincial had informed Captain Smith that this is of an absolute utmost importance that you sink this ship. Because if you do not sink this ship, the Federal Reserve Act will not be passed in America. And the Federal Reserve Act will be necessary in the setting up of a central bank pursuant to our Communist Manifesto, so that this central bank, the centralization of credit in the hands of the state, that's a maxim of the Communist Manifesto, so that we can extend credit to the American government to finance the building of its military industrial complex, which includes the steel industry set up by J.P. Morgan, and his first head of it was a Knight of Malta. So we're going to build this huge steel industry. We're going to build a huge shipbuilding industry. We're going to build a huge war industry in America. And to do this, we have to have the Federal Reserve Bank in place to extend its bogus credit out of nothing to the American Congress so that it can pass bills and then finance the building of this complex to conduct the Pope's crusades to restore his temporal power. So I'm sure Captain Smith knew this. And by the way, the Jesuits had fomented a strike in London just about a week or so before Titanic was to set sail, and they replaced all the normal hands of the ship that were in a union with other hands. These were different men that were not generally on the Titanic.
Interesting. So back to Smith, he must have taken an oath, right? A Jesuit oath of some kind?
Absolutely. And remember that Francis M. Brown had spent time with the captain and the entire of the officer crew before he left the ship. And you can know that he was in giving them the orders, this is what must be done.
Wow, and it must be done because of the people on the ship who opposed the Federal
That's
Reserve,
correct.
Right? And they were going to be like John Jacob Astor. Wasn't
That's
he the
correct.
Most wealthy American at the time? And he had That's the power correct. To stop it. He had the
he
power.
He was the wealthiest man on the ship. Yeah, and he was very wealthy. And then you had the head of Macy's, Isidore Strauss, who was a Jew. He was very influential in New York. He was a personal friend of Louis Brandeis, who at the time was against the Federal Reserve Act. Louis Brandeis later becomes a traitor because he's the one who delivers the wicked Erie Railroad decision in 1938. Which destroys all common law procedure on a federal level so that we can all be all under Roman civil law and in privilege. But at the time, Louis Brandeis was against the Federal Reserve Act, and he and Isidore Strauss and Benjamin Guggenheim were in agreement on that. So Guggenheim had to go, Strauss had to go, and Astor had to go, and they all went down.
Wow. I usually don't delineate, between good guys and bad guys, but if I had to here, it sounds like there were some good guys on that ship that knew how bad the Federal Reserve would be for humanity and for for America in the long run. And the bad guys knew it. They knew how dangerous they were. And
That's right.
Man, that is just, it's so great that we have you to help shine some light on this.
Yeah. And remember this, J. Pierpont Morgan, that white Gentile Episcopalian, he was no Jew. He was the Pope's banker for North America. He was the all-powerful banker in North America, managing the Pope's banking affairs here. He was the one responsible for the economic crash and the gold rush in 1907, which then was used to justify the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913.
Oh, the timing. You're right. That was interesting timing. The gold rush and the Federal Reserve makes total sense.
Yeah, so we're going to create a crisis on the gold issue so that we can justify having an expanding currency, expanding and collapsing currency, so we can prevent anything like this from ever happening again when they have facilitated more booms and busts than when we were having gold and silver coins in circulation.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution. It's that Hegelian dialect we see it all the time. You know, ooh, we want to bring in this new solution, but how are we going to do it? Oh, we got to create a problem first. We'll make the people react, and they'll even want it. They'll ask for it. They will beg for it practically.
That's correct. And that's exactly what they're doing with the second term of Obama.
Interesting, interesting. Switch gears just a little bit. We've got a new question from a listener. Hi, can you ask Eric Phelps if he knows, as it's increasingly in the news now, if pedophilia and polygamy will eventually become legalized? And if so, like, will this be before the 2016 black versus white race or after?
Well, they're legalizing marijuana. We're in Washington State and what's the other state?
Just Colorado.
Colorado? And just as an aside, it'll be interesting if they legalize only cannabis. Now, I'm for the legalization of it, but not to answer. And you want to increase your appetite, because I have a good friend who was in the hospital in Israel and he smoked marijuana and increased his appetite, and today he's alive. And also, you can make this wonderful oil out of cannabis, and if you take a few drops a day, according to this one gentleman, it completely reverses prostate cancer. So it has a wonderful medicinal use, but just to smoke it at random, I never met anybody that was smoking marijuana, didn't have a mind problem, didn't have a memory problem. And I was in the 60s, 70s generation when everybody was blowing dope, except me, because I was deathly afraid of my father. But it wouldn't surprise me that they would do something like this. And by the way, the point I wanted to make was, it's interesting if they legalize cannabis but not hemp.
Yeah.
Because you see, you can make anything out of hemp. You can make clothing out of hemp. You can make car bodies out of hemp. You can make food out of hemp. You can make anything out of hemp. Hemp. Jefferson said America would be great because America is rich in hemp. But this government has completely outlawed hemp.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see if they're going to legalize cannabis, but they're going to keep hemp outlawed. That would be
I would bet they will. And I did a whole episode on this a few months ago, and what I found was that you're right. The hemp is extremely strong, fibrous biomaterial, and you can make better paper, better rope, better alternatives to plastic that are even eco-friendly now.
Yes.
Of course, it's a threat to all the chemical companies.
It's a threat to the chemical companies and the oil monsters, because the Pope runs all the oil industry.
Yeah. Well, let's cut to a break. We'll be right back. And thanks for tuning in. Revealing Talk Radio, Eric Don Phelps, Vatican Assassin.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We're looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102.
Variety is a spice of life, and why not spice up your life with the Joe Show on Revealing Talk Radio. Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Joe Show goes live and brings you a variety of guests. We have guests such as celebrities, authors, comedians, musicians, and so much more. All this only on the Joe Show, live Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Revealing Talk Radio.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're lucky enough today to have Mr. Eric John Phelps from Vatican Assassins. This is a follow-up from last week. We didn't get it all in last week, but we're going to do our best to keep going here tonight. Let's see, back to Lincoln.
But there's one more thing, Max. I wasn't able to address the gentleman's question. I don't think they'll ever legalize pedophilia or polygamy because that would cut in on the Pope's mafia. It's a huge business in child slavery and white slavery.
Oh, yeah. I've generally figured that out, that if something is illegal, it's probably that way because it is the most profitable to be illegal. It's not illegal because it's bad for people and they care about you so much that they don't want you to get in trouble. No, it's that way because the status quo is profitable. And to do it, to reverse it, no, we're going to lose too much money for one reason or another. Might be hard for some to understand, but absolutely, absolutely right. I totally agree with you there, Eric. I did have a question back to Lincoln. Surratt, how did he get away and how was he eventually caught?
John Surratt escaped through Canada, according to Chenequy in his masterpiece, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, that was written in 1886. He escaped through Canada, through Quebec, to Liverpool. Then from Liverpool, he went to Rome and was congratulated on overseeing the Lincoln assassination. And there, he was brought into the Pope's Zouave army, and then he was stationed in Alexandria, Egypt. And I have a picture of him in my book.
Oh, wow.
Cloak there. It's a very fascinating picture. In fact, the picture was first published, to my knowledge, by Burke McCarty in her magnificent work, The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, published in 1924. But there he is in Alexandria, Egypt, and one man who told the truth about where he was that enabled him to be arrested in 1867 and brought back to the U.S. for trial. And by the way, President Johnson lifted the bounty on John Surratt, which then disabled all these private eyes from finding him. So Andrew Johnson was also involved in the plot to assassinate Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
So
interesting.
So they brought John Surratt back. He had two trials. It was hung by a Roman Catholic on the jury, because then you had to have a jury had nullification, and then they also had to be unanimous in their verdict. And so she hung it, and he went free, and he died in Wall Street, and ahead of a Baltimore steamship company in 1914, I believe. But it's in The Suppressed Truth of the Assassination of Lincoln by McCarty.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Interesting. Is it true? Also, I was curious if the Pope, I heard that the Pope was the only world leader to not send condolences to the U.S. government and people over
that
event.
That's right.
Wow.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. So I guess it makes sense. You know, it's we
have to remember the papacy's great maxim that it always follows, and that is, its open policy is its false policy. Its true policy, its secret policy, is its true policy. So the open policy of Pius IX, under the oversight of the Jesuits, was to back the South. That's why he sent his letter to Jefferson Davis after the Battle of Gettysburg, when the South had really lost, and the Southern Army had been deliberately sacrificed by Robert E. Lee, the traitor. The other one, Longstreet, working with him. But the secret but true policy is the papacy. The Jesuits were behind the radical red Republicans in the North. That's who they wanted to win. And so that's exactly what happened, because what would result from that was the creation of a new nation in 1868 with the 14th Amendment. And that's exactly what the Jesuits wanted, the consolidation of power in Washington, reducing the states to being mere provinces, as is in Canada and any other form of Roman government. You have a center city with provinces around subject to the city.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. So since we're kind of coming to the conclusion of the show here, we've got about 10 minutes left. I want to hit you with some random topics and questions. You can answer quickly and just tell us if there are any ties to the Jesuits or any other info relevant to share based on the question. So 9/11 facts and secrets. Was there gold in the World Trade Center?
No, it had been taken out before.
Wow. Okay. So there was gold, but it was taken out just before. So obviously, right, someone knew that it was going to happen.
Yeah, they transferred it to the bank. It's where the Pope holds all of his gold in North America.
Ah, of course, of course, of course, he does. moving along, whatever happened to the Gulf oil crisis? That it just pop poof, no, not a problem anymore. It's like it disappeared. Whatever happened? What's with that gold or Gulf oil crisis?
Well, the head at that time of British Petroleum was Peter, oh, what was his name? I can't quite remember. But he was an out of Malta. And I believe it was a crisis deliberately created so that Obama could further stop offshore oil drilling. That's what it was really used for. And I also believe that a missile hit that platform. I have a picture of it going down. There's a huge hole in the landing platform of that oil rig as it goes down. I have a post on my website. So I believe it was deliberately sabotage to then justify no more oil drilling offshore.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. What about the CIA asset, Tim Osmond, also known as Osama bin Laden? When did he really die and how? Any idea?
According to Benazir Bhutto, and I believe she told the truth on the David Susskind, or on the, what was it, David Susskind show? Or David Frost show?
Yep. She admitted it right on
the
mainstream.
She admitted it right. Within 3 weeks, she was dead. So the CIA finished her off there. But according to Benazir Bhutto, she said that he was killed on December 13th, 2001. He was poisoned. So he has been dead in the very year that they started the whole crusade in 2001.
Yep, that makes sense, because the best public enemy number one is a dead and unprovable, uncatchable public
right.
enemy number one.
Right.
So.
And this whole nonsense that the Navy SEALs got him and they killed him, and that's utter nonsense.
Absolutely.
To make Obama look good and to give a reason why he would be reelected when, in fact, he was appointed. There are no elections. He was appointed.
They drone strike, you know, one militant for every 50 civilians, yet they care so much about respecting Muslims that they had to bury him at sea right away.
Right, right.
Absolutely hilarious. Tell us more about bin Laden's start, and where did he get his start?
Well, he got to start with his connection to the Bush family, because the family of the bin Ladens have been doing business with the Bushes for years. Bin Laden was really a creation of the Knights of Malta through Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the same creators of Osama bin Obama.
Right.
Harry Davis Obama. You have Obama being tutored by Brzezinski. You have bin Laden being tutored by Brzezinski. And this further proves that the whole Al-Qaeda setup is CIA Al-Qaeda. It's nothing but a branch of the Central Intelligence Agency, just like the Muslim Brotherhood,
yep.
which is run by another Knight of Malta, Pallavicini, an Italian Knight of Malta. So they are all overseen by the Jesuits by way of the papacy through the Knights of Malta, controlling all these different factions, be it Hamas, be it Al-Qaeda, be it Hezbollah, be it a Muslim Brotherhood. They're all controlled by the Vatican through the Knights of Malta.
Wow, interesting. Speaking of the drones, you know, we're always hearing about Obama's drones and Obama's kill list. Is he really controlling those drones, or is there, you know, there's got to be some Jesuit influence on how these drones are used, right?
No, of course. The whole military industrial complex is run by the Knights of Malta. And Freemasons and certain Knights of Columbus, all the secret societies are running the intelligence community. You have the Jesuits absolutely running NSA, which has a larger budget than CIA. So with their military industrial complex, Lockheed, McDonnell Douglas, you name it, whatever they make is for the benefit of the papacy. So they just say Obama did it, but it was really the Jesuits running the CIA and the NSA that did it.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, somebody's got to take the blame for all these decisions that are being made that are not in humanity's best interest. They,
right.
they don't want the real guys to have the spotlight on them. So, let's just blame
look,
it on
look, look at Look at Petraeus. He resigns. Don't tell me he's resigning over committing adultery with some woman. That's nonsense.
Because FBI monitors the director of the CIA, and you know, Central Intelligence Agency has his emails monitored by the FBI. Oh, right. I mean, obviously, it's a cover up for Benghazi. We know that the CIA requested help, and now he doesn't have to testify. Oh, weird.
That's correct.
What do you know? He doesn't have to testify.
That's exactly the reason why.
Mm-hmm. And so hook, line, and sinker, public buys it. Oh, wow, he had an affair. And what do you know? The story continues to change. The story evolves. Just like any good conspiracy, it sticks out like a red thumb because the version of events, the official version, changes 10 times.
Yeah. Well, you remember about that homosexual, white homosexual that came out and said he had a homosexual relationship with Obama?
Yeah, I forget what his
public.
Name
I forget
was.
His name.
Yep. They silenced him.
They silenced him, and guess what? Obama doesn't even address it, and he continues to be president. Now, something 10 times worse than committing adultery was done here, and yet he doesn't resign.
Yeah,
Petraeus would have never had to resign over committing.
That's it. Larry Sinclair took lie detector test, passed a lie detector test with flying colors. And there was, I saw his interview, and there was just something genuine about this guy. He wasn't in it for the attention. He wasn't doing it to try to get people riled up. He was just like, hey, I'm a guy, and this is my experience. You know, take it or leave it. This is what happened, and this is what kind of person he really is. You know, we were blowing coke in the limo, and we did gay stuff. You know, and right. Larry Sinclair.
Right. So that incident right there tells you that this is not why Petraeus resigned, because that could easily be covered up or denied, and he would still be the head of the CIA.
Yep. And somehow they even they covered up this. There were high resolution photos that leaked about Obama's gold ring that says there is no God but Allah in Arabic on this ring, and the photos go all the way back to his days in Colombia. There's a picture of him as a youngster reaching up in the library, and you see it's that same ring that Michelle ended up giving him, who I suspect might is she involved in this somehow, or is she just
of course she's a member of the Chicago CFR.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot
she's absolutely involved, sure. Yep. She's feigning all this allegiance to the blacks. Just another traitor to her race.
Sure. And so, yeah, I mean, they squash a story like that should have gone viral. High resolution pictures of Obama's gold ring that says no God but Allah. I mean, why is that not mainstream news? Obviously, the Jesuits control the news and the media, and they didn't want that out. They didn't want that to go viral. So it didn't.
That's right. And so they control all their Republicans not to say anything, including Ron Paul, the independent.
I suspected that. I suspected, Eric, that he might be a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Absolutely. Lived in Rome. He's been to Rome 50 times. He's absolutely involved with the papacy.
Wow. Wow. Man, we have about maybe 2.5-3 minutes left. I feel like we've just got so much more to talk about. Would there be, I'm just going to throw it out there, would there be any way that maybe we could come back and do a part 3 to continue with this stuff? Maybe next Monday?
If you wish, if you have an interest.
Yes! Woohoo! All right. I think the listeners are going to be thrilled. I know there's more that I have that I'm just dying to ask. But, man, every time we've gotten on the phone now, we're just drinking from a fire hose, Eric. You force me to drink your information from a fire hose. I can't even – I got to go listen to the recording again a couple times because you throw out so many names that I just never even heard of. I mean, I got a couple of them here. You know, Chris Quick, obviously, and you mentioned Francis M. Brown again. And then the real power, the real controlling families like the Borges, the Farnese's, the Colonnas. Who are a couple other of those names that people should know but just don't?
The Aldobrandinis. The Contis, C-O-N-T-I. Most of these families have all produced popes in the past. The Farnese Pope, Paul III, was the pope who brought the Jesuits into the papacy in 1540. So all of these families are regarded as royal bloodlines, the true nobility of Rome. They keep within their families, and they are the giga trillionaires.
Giga trillionaires absolutely makes sense. We see these guys like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, and oh, they're the most wealthy in the world. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Man, so next week, there's the music. We're going to have to go. It's been an awesome hour. I know the listeners loved it. We're getting a ton of great feedback already. Next week, we're going to discuss assassinations. I'd love to talk about some of the assassinations through history. Have Eric elaborate on that. Sure. Absolutely can't wait. Thank you so much again, Eric. Anything you want to tell the listeners before we cut?
Okay. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
I love Amen. It. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Eric. Okay. Again, we'll have him back next Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. VaticanAssassins.org is the website. Check out his book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. 1,800 pages plus a bonus CD. Check it out. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Revealing
from Feature Story.